We can't have two Davids. It's one David too many. Get rid of him.
Get rid of the other David. One David, that's all.
Can you even imagine? You wouldn't even need me anymore. We had to have this meeting, me and the other David, and we're going to have to let you go.
The Davids are firing you.
Welcome to the Oddity Archive with Evan and David.
How's things?
Things good. How about you?
You know, they march onward. Overall, things are good. Joys of corporate America.
Okay. Yeah. I often like to think about my dream job as being just like night stalker at Food Lion.
I feel like I applied for that a few times when I was probably just in between work. I was like, you know, it's probably not that bad to just put on headphones and like put the Rice-A-Roni on the shelves.
Right?
Shelves. I'm already fired.
That's my retirement plan.
Well, you're still working.
Just so I have something to do.
Okay.
You know, get out of the house or something.
Yeah, that's fine. You're the guy at Walmart who's like really adamant about giving you the smiley face sticker.
No,
like,
take this sticker right now. Get over here.
I don't think they even do that anymore, do they? I feel like they got rid of it.
Probably not. That was probably on the chopping block.
He was the first guy fired when Walmart's like, where can we save $7 an hour? And like that old piece of at the door.
The greeter. Get rid of him. We don't care if people are happy in this store.
If they come in frustrated, then when they leave frustrated, it's less of a jarring kind of experience.
Exactly.
That's what they're going for. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, anyway, God.
Probably every time I watch Seinfeld and George Costanza quits in a very like awesome way, I'm like, there are very great ways to leave your job.
So my plan, and I've had this plan a long time. Mm-hmm. Should I ever like win the lottery?
Yeah.
Like come into an amount of money that means I don't have to work the rest of my life, basically.
Right.
My plan is A, tell no one.
You're like, not even my wife.
She's probably the only person that I would tell, honestly.
Yeah.
But specifically in this scenario, nobody that I work with would have any idea that I had won the lottery.
Okay.
I also wouldn't quit. I would just start doing increasingly bizarre things until I get fired.
Okay. I like that. Really see where the line is with them.
Exactly. So I would, you know, come in one day, like dressed really disheveled, you know, start talking in weird accents.
Well, that's a great way to get fired very quickly.
If somehow I still have my job after that, I would like just wear a trash bag to work.
I like the idea you still have a tie on over it, though.
Yeah. Just like ramping up the bizarreness and offensiveness until eventually I just get fired.
Yeah. And it's surprising how far some places will let you go.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I don't think I've ever had like a good quitting story. I was a custom framer at Michael's for 3 months.
Like picture frames?
Yeah.
Okay.
I graduated into the Great Recession, as they call it. I feel like you were in that boat, seeing as we graduated the same year.
Oh, yeah.
So there was like no jobs. And I was like, right. Are there any video jobs out there? There?
Can I make your videos, please?
And instead, I was like, what's the closest store that I can go to and then work for them? Yeah. So, yeah, I went to this place and basically they just had a video person there before who did custom framing. And they're like, hey, you're the next natural fit. And in my head, I'm like, I don't want to do this job at all. But if you'll pay me.
Yeah.
I think it's like the highest paying Michaels in like the U.S. or something, too. So I really lucked out on this.
Okay.
Then I found out I was going to get discounts on Silly Bands. I don't know if you remember those.
What is Silly Bands?
They were these bracelets the kids had for a while and they were like in shapes.
Okay.
But when you put them on, they look like a bracelet, but kids like trade them and stuff like that. Okay. They were like kind of a fad for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I did have awkward times where when I was substitute teaching, again, another recession job.
I think you've mentioned that one on here.
It was when I started doing video work. So I'd be like a production assistant some days and then substitute teach to kind of fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
But I would have like 7-year-old kids come up to me on the playground and hand me like Silly Band bracelets. And I had to be like, are the optics of this okay? for me to accept these bracelet gifts from young children at the playground.
As a substitute teacher, it makes it way creepier.
Yeah, right? I custom frame on the weekends. Yeah, so it was an interesting time. But then I kind of, you know, I found my footing in video world, for better or worse.
The only quitting story that I know of yours, and I wouldn't even really consider it that, was from Jersey Mike's.
Oh, yeah.
When you worked 1 6-hour shift and then just just never came back.
So I got hired at one store where I never even actually worked a shift there. I think it was 2 4-hour training shifts.
Yeah, because they hadn't opened yet.
And you and me got hired at the same time, and we're kind of hired as like, they thought we were going to be like an awesome duo. And I worked one shift and I was like, I don't know, man, this is, and it wasn't even like, I kind of wish I'd stuck with it because you and another friend ended up working there. And every time I went, I was like, man, this looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But to have somebody come up to you and tell you like 90 ingredients, my brain is just thinking about anything that's not sandwich related. So I would just hand people stuff and they'd be like, what is this? But I ended up going to work at Best Buy, which became its own fun adventure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember some of your Best Buy stories.
It's basically just where all the perverse men go to be managers, is the best I can figure out.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, you fit right in as a substitute teacher that was trading bracelets on the playground.
Yeah, that's fair. I was like, I'm management material. Like, let me tell you what I do on the day-to-day. And they're like, oh, let's get this guy in here. But have you been to a Best Buy recently? It is.
I imagine it's bleak.
Weird vibes. Yeah, it's kind of gone the Walmart direction where it's like people provide their own shirts as uniforms. So you're not really sure who works there, who's like kind of just squatting, like just kind of living in the stereo section.
Uh-huh. I think the last time I went into a Best Buy, this is going to age me, is I went in to get the Diablo 2 expansion pack, Lord of Destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how long ago this was. My mom had to drive me to the Best Buy.
Yep.
And it's like at opening, and I walk in and it's nowhere to be seen. So I find an employee and I'm like, hey, do y'all have the Diablo 2 expansion pack?
Yeah. And you're crying. And
well, yeah, I'm like in tears. I'm bawling. And so they like walk me over to the PC games and they just point at Diablo 2. And I'm like, listen here. That is not what I'm looking for. And then he went in the back and got it and gave it to me.
Yeah.
But I think that's the last time I went into a Best Buy was when I berated that employee.
When I worked in that department and you would see all these boxes in the back, they're like, don't open this until like, you know, January 31st.
Yeah.
But there was plenty of people there I remember would just be like, I'm going to go ahead and take this home. He's like, oh, one of them did get fired and he had like 9 games in his jacket. And I was like, yeah, no, that checks out. I assume most of the story takes place in a Best Buy. That's why I went that direction.
I mean, it does take place like late aughts, like as we're graduating college.
Okay. Best Buy's heyday.
Right. And so this story is under the internet mystery category.
Okay.
I've been trying to do like one of these a season. So we did John Teeter season 1. Mm-hmm. Last season we did Black Eyed Kids. And so today we're going to cover Lake City Quiet Pills, which I'm guessing you've never heard of.
I haven't. It sounds like a punk band or something.
Sounds like a punk band. And for me, I mean, just because I'm a simple brained person.
Sure.
Is I was like, oh, it must be pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. I mean, is it not pharmaceutical?
So this story, there are just so many different aspects.
Mm-hmm.
At some point during the research, I had to just like stop and be like, okay, let's not lose the forest for the trees.
And that's got to be tougher than what is the phrasing for this? I imagine it's okay. Full reset. Let me turn my brain on again.
Keep all that in.
Yep. Perfect. I imagine it's easy to get lost on some of these cases where there's just like endless numbers of theories. I'm sure it's tough to know when to actually like kind of cut off.
Right. Like, for instance, the Amelia Earhart one, we made that 2 episodes. Like, we could have done a whole season.
Yeah. Yeah.
This story, I'm going to explain it to you. At every point you think you know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
you don't know what's going on. And by the end of this, I'm basically going to become like the Charlie Kelly in the mailroom meme where I'm just like, there's tons of Pepe Silvia. Yeah. So that's where we're heading. He might be one of my favorite TV characters of all time. I feel like kindred spirit to Charlie Kelly.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of overlap.
So, Lake City Quiet Pills. This story I got into just because of the name. The name is like, what on earth could that possibly be?
Yeah, it's catchy.
Right. And so we're going to mid-2000s. We're going into the heyday of Reddit.
Yes.
You know, those early days of Reddit where it was the front page of the internet or whatever they used to bill themselves as.
Yeah.
And specifically Reddit user Religion of Peace.
Okay. Were you on Reddit back in the, not to be like a boomer about it, but it was way better back in the day.
Okay. Sorry. My wife decided to text me.
The POV of your finger just smashing my screen was.
So to your point, I was on Reddit fairly early on in the heyday of it. Like most of the story takes place 09, 10. Mm-hmm. I was definitely on Reddit at that point.
And I would say it was still kind of on the fringe then. The homepage you just land on if you don't like make your subreddit picks or whatever is kind of just like a mess of just like horrible pop culture, whatever.
Yeah, pop culture and politics. That's basically half of Reddit now.
Yeah, my two favorite things. But back then it was like F7U12 comics, if you remember those. And then like stuff would actually like kind of linger over the course of the week, and there'd be a lot of inside jokes just based on what kind of made it to the front page. So it's kind of this like culty niche internet thing.
Yeah,
I feel like it was a lot more fun, kind of like we talked about with another episode of talking about the internet, just less toxic. And I mean, there's still some of that, but not like,
yeah. Well, I feel like in the early days of Reddit it was like community building.
Yeah.
You would find your subreddits for your hobbies or interests or whatever, and like there'd be meaningful discussion about stuff. Mm-hmm. Instead of like somebody posting a picture and everybody being like, you idiot, that's not right. Like I don't, you're right. Yeah, the internet used to be fun. And we're gonna immediately flip to not fun stuff, but you know, at the time it was fun. And again, Reddit user was Religion of Peace. You can still look up that username on Reddit.
Still active?
No, not active. Okay. But you can find some of the posts from Religion of Peace.
Okay.
And back then, he was like a pretty prolific poster on Reddit. If you were in one of the communities that he was involved in, you knew about Religion of Peace.
Yeah.
He kind of was posting all day and night, like seemingly didn't have a job or something. It was just sort of chronically online.
Yeah. There's like quasi Reddit celebrities, if you will, where people would even comment on a post and be like, oh my God, like that's that person commenting on my post, like blah, blah, blah. So there was like this weird, like it was just like very culty kind of vibes, but in a good way. Baby.
Right. And so a lot of his posting was on subreddits about firearms, military topics, some political stuff, everyday life. He appeared to be older, appeared to be a veteran, and he had a lot of technical knowledge.
Okay. Like engineer technical or?
Like computer technology.
Okay.
So in addition to posting on subreddits about those topics, he also was one of the moderators on a few different controversial subreddits.
Okay.
The biggest one being r jailbait.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I mean, people may put two and two together, but moderators kind of run the subreddits. They're in charge of it. They aren't paid.
Yeah.
They may have founded it or had it passed down to them, I think. But basically, they can delete posts or kind of set the rules for what is or is not allowed on the subreddit. Is that a pretty good mile high view of it?
Yeah. They're sort of in charge of the subreddits.
Yeah.
And for anybody that doesn't know, the subreddit r jailbait was essentially a place where people would post technically not illegal pictures of minors, to put it plainly.
The idea being if you did anything with them, you would go to jail. So they're jailbait.
Right.
Pretty dark.
Yeah. Pretty dark stuff. So he moderated that subreddit, a couple other similar subreddits. So not a great guy. He was also, a lot of his posts, he was pretty angry. He was pretty ornery. He would be quick to anger at someone and like just cuss you out online. So in that regard, he was ahead of his time.
A pioneer for modern times, yeah.
Right. And so he had done those things for a number of years. And then eventually the internet and sort of the rules and legal side of the internet started catching up to that sort of content.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the image hosting websites would just delete anything like that.
Okay.
They didn't want any pornographic imagery or anything else that was controversial in that way to be on their website.
Yeah.
And so he decided that he was going to create his own image hosting website so that people could use it to keep posting that type of material.
Gotcha.
He decided that he was going to develop www.lakecityquietpills.com.
Okay. So not a medication.
Not a medication. As far as I know, that website does not exist anymore. I would not recommend even attempting to go to lakecityquietpills.com just based on what we know about the images that people hosted there.
Yeah. So do you know why that name?
Yeah.
Am I jumping the gun? Is it,
yeah, sorry, just a second. Yeah, yeah. At that time, someone would go to lakecityquietpills.com, and across the top, it would say that old guy's image host.
Oh my God.
People would post these images, and he owned the website. So, you know, there was no like corporation or organization that was worried about any fallout from whatever images were on the website.
Was he hosting this like on his own server, like to that degree? How self-regulated was his site?
I imagine pretty regulated. There is, towards the end of this, and we'll get to all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
There is some talk about like needing to raise funds to keep the server going. And, and so the name Lake City Quiet Pills comes from two things. The military, I'm told this, I don't know this firsthand, obviously, but in some military circles, quiet pills is a slang term for bullets or ammunition.
Oh, okay.
And then combining that with a reference to the Lake City Army Ammunition Plant, which is one of the biggest producers of ammunition in the country. So around the time of this story, the Lake City Army Ammunition Plant was making 1.4 billion rounds of ammunition per year. And so that's where you get the name Lake City Quiet Pills.
Well, definitely leans into his military kind of background there, right? Like, right. Not hiding much there.
Also, doesn't really make any sense for an image hosting website.
Especially given the content.
Right?
Yeah. He went from jailbait to Lake City Quiet Pills.
Yeah.
But I guess it may also be one of those things where it's so abstract, maybe people won't think to look much deeper into it. We'll see.
Right. And that's pretty pretty foretelling of a statement. So he makes that website. People are using that to host these images that they're posting to these unsavory subreddits. And then July 17th, 2009, Religion of Peace makes a seemingly normal post on Reddit. And it is more or less quoted. I'm going to leave out the expletives just so you don't have to worry about bleeping anything out.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's word for word.
Okay.
I reported a couple hundred obvious BS Reddits. Stuff from roofers, lawyers, local businesses, and stuff like that. Just those one-offs that spammers make, thinking that we actually look at their postings. They're all still there. I'm getting very discouraged. Even after trading messages with admins about the spam situation, I don't think they really care all that much. Like this daily lawyer and attorney spam. I down mod and report every day, and the next morning there's another round from the same spammers. The admins need some aggressive mods to ban domains and usernames. It's getting really out of control. So he posts that July 17th, 2009, goes quiet for like longer than he usually does.
Mm-hmm.
And sometime the next day, a brand new user account of 2-6, or I'm just going to call him 2-6, creates an account and makes their first post. And it is titled "The End of Religion of Peace. He died today." This is another thing. You can look up that post on Reddit and read it today. That post says, "I'm the person who provided Religion of Peace the space for that old guy's image host. Milo died today. He was 79 years old. He died at his desk looking at your site. Milo was a mean old f***. Mean and ornery. He hooked me up with my first gig when I got out of the army. I didn't like finding him like that. Milo don't have any living relatives and no real friends. And other than his landlady and a few people where he worked, he didn't talk to anyone much about anything. Me, he just tolerated." So he posts that Religion of Peace's name was Milo.
Yeah.
He was 70 years old. There was some military connection and that he had passed away.
And 2-6 is saying he gave him his first gig.
Yep.
Meaning he was just like his server host. Or he just knew the tech side of...
So, hang on to that question.
Okay.
Because that's one of these threads that Charlie Kelly's putting on the board.
Okay, right.
Yeah, no, you're having the right train of thought.
Yeah.
With where all this is going.
Okay.
So essentially, you have this mean old man who is moderating really not good subreddits. Mm-hmm. Created an image hosting website with an odd name so people could continue posting on these not good subreddits, and now he's passed away.
Right. We think.
Yeah. 2-6 replied to a few of the comments on that post. One of the comments, he said, if you're interested, this is where Milo is now, and posted a link to a Google Maps spot near Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. I've been there.
And he said that that's where Milo's ashes had been scattered because that's where he grew up. And that's really all of the info that is given on Religion of Peace / Milo passing away. That it happened and he scattered his ashes and that's that.
Isn't it weird to you that if I'm going online to be like, man, this guy was a huge piece of shit, I wouldn't be like, also, if you want to go pay your respects, here's where you can go see him, right? Like,
a bit odd, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe it's military camaraderie or something that he's like, you know, if that's what you want to do, sure.
Right, yeah.
So 2-6, is that of any military significance or?
That is a great question. Not that I know of.
I was curious if it was like a, you know, 10-4, good buddy. We got a jailbait and a 2-6.
Not that I know of, but it very well could be. And so all of that happens, and I guess just because people knew who he was in the communities that he went to, the internet sort of discovered LakeCityQuietPills.com, because unless you were involved in those subreddits that were using it to host images, mm-hmm. nobody really knew about that website. But after he died, people, I guess, looked more at his account, mm-hmm. found the website through his postings and stuff.
Was he still posting all that stuff into our jailbait, but he was just now able to host the images?
I believe. Like, now you can just upload an image onto a Reddit post.
Yeah.
But back then, you had to, like, upload the image to, like, Imgur.
This is a GIF thing, too. I thought it was Imgur.
Imgur? I've always said Imgur.
As you said, I was like, oh, Imgur.
Imgur. But I think that's how it worked. And so, like, you had to use an image hosting website to then post images on Reddit.
That's how I remember it. Yeah.
And so he passes away in July of 2009. And over time, people start looking at Lake City Quiet Pills a little bit closer. And in March 2010, so March of the next year, people really start digging into LakeCityQuietPills.com. And if the internet is good at anything, it's at sleuthing. And what they find is that in the, and I don't really know what this means, but in the metadata of the website, they found a bunch of hidden forums.
Hmm. I can speak to it some.
Go ahead.
If you just go to google.com, you won't see like the code of the website, mm-hmm. but there's ways to like inspect the code and then see kind of how it's built.
Okay.
You can actually see like some of the source code stuff and go in and kind of deep dive and find like hidden stuff you won't see just going to the site.
Okay.
So people were able to just kind of find, I guess, what you're about to kind of describe.
Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense. And so they went into the metadata of the website and they found these like hidden forums that you wouldn't find by just going to the website. Like it wasn't, you go to LakeCityQuietPills.com and click forums and then there's a bunch of people posting, right? They found these sort of like hidden posts mm-hmm. that were people communicating with one another. Some examples of posts that were on there. Immediate need, 8 to 10 Chinese/Korean, fluent Korean dialect accent, details after contact, 12-week half pay sequester on refusal. Another one, need formed group, 8 to 10, single op, delivery bonus, gentleman's agreement insurance, immediate need. Another one, 2 ground types, fluent Farsi, Arabic, French, no papers, no problems.
Yikes.
So they're finding some odd at best postings that people are using to communicate with one another. And they appear to be some sort of job postings.
Well, I need to, my cat is screaming in the back, so give me one sec.
Okay.
Hi. Or does she just want to get brushed on the sink?
She screamed at your word, but now that I'm
All right, sorry. When my
ask her about Imgur.
Hey, Jess.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the site
Imgur?
It was. What'd you?
Imgur.
So she took her own spin on it. What did I say? Imgur. Yeah.
Imgur.
Imgur. Would you ever think that?
Imgur.
Yeah, it's a photo hosting site. Now there's like six cats walking in, and this whole episode's about to derail. Okay, that's all we needed. You had your episode. You're done. Close the door. You can leave it cracked. So much meowing happening behind me. Anyway, that's all right. You'll just hear. No, that's Jess. That one was Jess. Okay. So back to this really dark stuff.
Yeah. So it's something sketchy is going on with these posts on these hidden forums. And they trace it back to July.
You touched your ear. You touched your ear again. I don't know why that makes me Southern.
You hear me again?
It's still can't hear you.
You touched your ear.
Touched your ear, now can't hear sh.
Mm-mm. And so they...
David has become...
What's that?
Full mime.
Can you hear me?
And now he's doing that POV thing with his wasp fingers.
There we go. Not only did it mute, it's because muted me two different ways.
Whenever you tap your ear, it kills the signal or something.
Hello.
Say something offensive and...
F*** you.
That's the... I like to picture that your kid had come downstairs for like a glass of milk right at that moment.
Go to bed.
I said, F*** you. Okay. So, hidden metadata on the website.
Hidden metadata, weird postings, and then they trace it back to July 17th, which is the day that Milo died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they find that a user on these hidden forums named Angel26, sound familiar? On that day, user Angel26 posted, "I'm sorry to tell you that old Milo died yesterday. He went quietly and calm, not like we all figured. I gave that fat, mangy cat of his to the little girl next door. No service or nothing. You know Milo. I'm taking his ashes back to where his farm was. Close to it anyway. There's a mall where his place was. So hoist a few for the old man. Remember what he said. Keep the faith with the man who's got your back."
Different vibe than the Reddit post.
A little bit different, yeah.
Wasn't the Reddit post just like dunking on him, like saying he's like an old cantankerous?
I took the Reddit post as like a good friend ribbing on another friend, not like insulting him.
I read it as kind of just that piece of shit dead. So if you want to go see him, he's in Gettysburg.
Okay.
In the dust. Violent.
Yeah, yeah. Right. He's in the dust cloud. And so that's July 17th. And then September 30th, same user again. These are all posted by Angel26.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple months later, September 30th, he posts, "For those who have asked, I bricked Milo's iron key the same day. All is well." And then a couple months after that, November 14th, 2009, "Milo's will cleared probate. Surprise, Milo was loaded. Email Shade if we sent you out in 2005 to 2009. Shade will have checks cut for you. Amount is by how many times, not by pay total. Small share is 3,000 to 4,000. So again, this is referencing them sending people out on some sort of something.
Yeah.
Right? Like some paid job that they were sending people out on. So again, this is discovered in March of 2010, and we're kind of retroactively finding these posts.
Is there any idea what bricking his iron key means, or is that something we will revisit and I should?
No. A lot of the postings are just like really vague stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like coded.
Right. Like some sort of coded messages that people are just trying to piece things together about.
Okay.
He died July 2009. January the next year, so 6 months later, user Angel26, again, this is all in the hidden forums.
Yeah, you are Charlie.
I told you.
The whole mind map is going.
I listened to like 4 hours of other podcasts about this topic. I read a bunch of articles about this. And I'm like, how in the world can I capture this in a way that like people are going to be able to stick with me? So dies July, and then over the months, there's some talk about, I bricked Milo's iron key, his will came through, we're cutting checks to people who we sent out, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then 6 months after his death, January of 2010, user Angel26 posts, Happy New Year, everyone. We're having a birthday party for the old man on the 19th. Party starts at 1500 at the usual. Send your RSVP to Shade. FYI, we're booking a room for 3 days for anyone coming from out of town and overnight for locals. Come hoist one for Dutch Milo. So I want to add that Shade, because he was referenced in the payment and in this post, that is another user that was named Shade. And so here, the man passed away, but they're planning some sort of birthday party for the 19th. So that goes out on the 12th, the day before the party. He posts, we got 38 rooms at the Marriott on 46. Shade has the key cards for locals. Pick up at the party. Give your travel name at the desk and that's it. No ID needed since we're covering the bill. Keep the room service under 500, okay? The phones there are not secure. Bus from the hotel leaves at 1330. Car service vouchers for return trip when you're ready to crash. Don't DUI. So that is the post that's sent out the day before the party.
Huh.
Again, we're throwing a birthday party for a guy that died 6 months ago. And this is sounding a little too technical for me. And then I'm going to take you just to the other side of my corkboard real quick. And we're going to talk about Mahmoud al-Mabhou. He was a senior Hamas official, and he was in charge of logistics and weapons procurement for the military group Hamas. So, terrorist, essentially.
Yeah.
And this gentleman, on January 19th, 2010, he flies from Damascus to Dubai using an alias, which, of course, he did because, you know, he knows that he's a target. And what he didn't know is that his location and his aliases had been compromised.
Okay.
And so he has people following his movements. He has people tailing him, figuring out where he is, what he's doing, all of this stuff.
What people or...
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Okay. So he goes to Dubai on January 19th, 2010, goes out to do some shopping, get a meal, et cetera, et cetera.
Hit up Chipotle.
Hit up Chipotle. Brown rice, pinto beans.
That's all he gets.
Oh, God, there's a joke that I was going to make. What was the joke that I was going to make?
About Chipotle or about...
No, it was completely unrelated.
I love all this finger POV I keep getting. It was your finger, right, tonight?
No. I got stuck on my ankle.
I think it was just because this was happening as you were telling me. So I was like, oh, it's definitely on his finger. I've never been... Well, I'm going to knock on wood. I've been stung by like 90 different bees, but never by like a... It was like a black wasp.
Yeah, it was a black wasp that got me. But I was... investigating my side yard for bamboo, which is a whole other story.
You know, that's gonna be my first guess, was that you're foraging in your side yard.
I walk around, I'm not kidding right now. It used to be weekly, because if you've ever tried to get rid of bamboo, that's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm down to every few months, I have to walk around my side yard with a machete and hack at any...
You're trying to get rid of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hack at any bamboo that's popping back up. Okay. So if you're around my house and I'm just wandering around with a machete, that's what's happening.
I want a smash cut to just seeing you in your yard with a machete, just like, and all the neighbors like, oh, David's out in his yard again. Okay. So this guy's being tailed. He's in Dubai.
Just left Chipotle. He's a little upset about the portion sizes now. And at the end of the day, he goes back to his room at the Al Bustan Rotana Hotel, which is a hotel in Dubai.
Right.
And so he goes back to his hotel room. And then the next morning, he is found by hotel staff dead in his room.
Hmm.
And they rule it natural causes. They don't see where anything odd or strange has happened until until the authorities roll back the CCTV footage. And you can look this up. I don't know why you would want to, but you can look up this footage. People have it on YouTube and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They roll back all the CCTV footage and they can find from when he stepped off the plane, numerous people tailing him, tracking him, following him through everything he did in the city. And they're able to track the same group to renting out a bunch of hotel rooms at the same hotel to include the room directly across from his.
Mm-hmm. Not very discreet.
Right. They're able to find that one or two maybe of the people broke into his hotel room while he was out and about.
And this is all on CCTV. You can see the people just go in his room.
This is all on CCTV. Yeah. I didn't look it up. But
I mean, I hope there's no camera like in the room where it's like him sleeping and you're like, oh,
yeah, I would hope not.
Hallway cam or something. Yeah. Okay.
And so the authorities retroactively are able to see all of this going on. And then they reverse their decision on it being a natural death. And they find out that he had been injected with, oh my God, help me, succinylcholine.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a stab at it. Succinylcholine.
Succinylcholine.
Yeah.
It's a fast acting paralytic. But the person remains conscious.
Oh, yikes.
And they determined that he was injected with that and then suffocated with a pillow. And so it was 100% an assassination.
But I guess the idea is it looks like you quit breathing in your sleep or something versus...
Right. It looks like a natural death. And so through doing all this research, they find that up to 35 people were involved with this assassination. It was extremely organized. All of the dozens of people, they arrived separately from various countries.
Mm-hmm.
They all traveled under assumed identities. They often changed clothes, wore wigs. They avoided talking to each other face to face. So they never like went up to each other and they were like, hey, he's at the Chipotle.
Yeah.
And again, they got the hotel room directly across from the hotel room of the target.
Yes.
And then after the assassination, all of the folks involved, they depart on various flights out of Dubai, going back to various numbers of countries. And by the time police figured all of this out, there was no way for them to track who any of these people were.
I mean, they're all on camera, but they had wigs.
They had wigs. And so people immediately draw the connection of Milo's party was on January 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely organized. They rented out 38 hotel rooms, told people to show up and use their travel names, et cetera, et cetera. And this assassination happening on January 19th, 2010. So both things occurred on the same day. And so people start speculating that this was the party, quote unquote, was them organizing the assassination of this guy.
Yeah. And the number is close, right? 35, 38.
38 rooms, 35 people.
Yeah.
Probably want extra rooms just in case, you know.
Yeah.
Then February 2nd, so a couple weeks after the assassination, Angel 26 posts, here's the final for the party. And he lists like the expense report, essentially. Hotel rooms, 48,341. Limo, 6,080. Bus, 569. Bar bill, 18,890. Food, 8,030. Dancers, 8,300. Miscellaneous tips, 850. Miscellaneous expenses, 2,840. Med supplies, 180. And then in parentheses, Fat Tommy and Stu are okay.
Thank God.
Total $94,080. You all did Dutch Milo proud.
What was the total? Sorry.
$94,080. So even if, you know, some of that is coded, that is a lot of money for them to be partying for a day at a Marriott.
Well, it sounds like they ate very little and drank a whole lot.
But again, those numbers, they just don't really make sense to me.
I think you're right. It's coded.
38 hotel rooms, $48,341. Like, that's absurd. At a Marriott?
Hey, I'm a Bonvoy loyalty member. they give you no discounts. Doesn't matter. You get two bottles of water when you check in. It's not great.
Wait, are you serious? That's all you get?
And you get late checkout.
Did you have to pay for this?
No. So if you stay at a Marriott for like 15 days, you can check out at 7-Eleven when they start knocking on your door. Like,
oh, okay.
Get your sheets off you. Wake up. You can check out at like 1. And I think when you hit some point, you can check out at 4. So, you know, you give them like $20,000 and then you get to leave 3 hours later.
I'm picturing you going to check in at the Marriott and you're like, yeah, Evan Miller. And then they... I see you're a Bonvoy member. And then they just reach under the counter and put two bottles of water on the counter in front of you.
That some hotels will even hand you special cards for your door that are like, have a nice texture on them and say like elite member. And they're always like, and thank you so much for your loyalty. And I'm like, I don't know, man, this is just what workbooks. I'm just here to sleep for tonight. And also this hotel isn't that great. And your water tastes weird. Shout out Marriott,
the official hotel chain of the Audio Archive. I am drinking yet again a Coca-Cola zero sugar, caffeine free, the official soft drink of the Oddity Archive, for when the real thing just can't happen.
I'm looking around for anything else that might give us some money. Here's a don't tell Marriott.
What you got?
It's a pen from the Westin.
Westin.
Marriott probably owns them. It's probably the only reason I have it.
Thank you for being a Westin member.
Would you like us to sneak into your room at midnight and gently kiss your neck? I'm like, well, I don't know. That was on the table.
For free?
Being an elite member is really starting to pay off.
I was going to tell listeners that, you know, with Marriott being the official hotel of the Oddity Archive, next time anybody listening checks into a Marriott, make sure you let them know you're an Oddity Archive listener.
They'll know what you mean. Yeah. And then make sure you do the secret handshake with them. They're really big on that.
Yeah. So, yeah, this has got to be code for something.
I was like, oh, no, it's probably drinks, food. That sounds about right. So you're like, it's not drinks, dum-dum. Like, this is all their coding stuff they had to do.
Right? Like a one-day party totaling $94,000 at a Marriott.
In Dubai, though? Or is it in Dubai? It's in Dubai, right? That is...
Well, so that's the thing, is everything in the secret forum was as though this was a party for Milo, presumably in Pennsylvania somewhere, to celebrate Milo's life, right? And so all of this is talked about in that way. And so if you were to take these posts literally, you would presume that they had a $94,000 birthday party at a Marriott in the middle of Pennsylvania.
It also just sounds cheap for an assassination.
But with the connection to Dubai, it's like, well, maybe these numbers are actually for something that was going on over there. Like if me and you are trying to organize putting out a hit on somebody, right? I'm not going to be like, Evan, meet me in Dubai on this day so we can follow this guy and then kill him, right?
Right.
I'm going to be like, Evan, meet me in Gettysburg on this day so we can celebrate the life of such and such, right?
Yeah.
And so people are thinking that this whole celebration was just code for, we're going to assassinate this guy.
So how does it tie to Milo?
Milo, like, had been the creator of this website, Lake City Quiet Pills, right? And then I don't think a government was involved, but maybe like a private contracting firm or something.
Or whoever, like, Angel 26 is. Okay.
But yeah, like, I mean, I don't think any educated person is naive enough to think that a government wouldn't hire an assassination team to do something.
Right.
And so I think it's more of, this was a forum for people in that kind of a ring to find jobs, talk about payments, discuss plans, travel, etc.
I just really hope it wasn't that easy back then. To 2010 was a little while ago. I'm like, I hope we had some people checking in on this stuff, but
So let's just move into theories then, because we're kind of already there.
Yeah, sorry, I'm trying to connect all my dots here while also confusing myself.
So the bottom line is they organized a quote-unquote party for Milo, but based on the postings, people are thinking it had nothing to do with Milo, and really it was just the assassination of this terrorist that they were organizing,
right,
under the veil of a celebration of life.
Yeah.
And so the theories, I mean, they're pretty basic. The first one is kind of what I just said. This was some sort of private military contractor communication forum. either one specific group or multiple groups would use this forum to discuss hits that were being taken out, jobs that needed to be done, different things like that.
So that one post was like, oh, he gave me my first gig and stuff like that, 2-6.
Yeah.
And just for people who, like, I only know what a PMC, private military company, is from video games, but basically you hire out people who know how to use weaponry and whatever, former military people, but like they may be from various nations. They don't identify as like the US military. They are purely independent and they're hired to basically do jobs wherever, but no national affiliation. Is that a fair way to put it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Just guns for hire. And so this theory is that the whole Lake City Quiet Pills thing is just essentially a forum to make those things happen.
Mm-hmm. But while also hosting some kind of insidious material. So
my thought with that is, just thinking about this today, if, and that's a huge if this is some sort of hidden forum to discuss assassinations and hit jobs and other military contracts and stuff in code, like they're not obviously saying these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if that it was the true purpose of Lake City Quiet Pills, then making the front page, like the first thing people are going to land on, be potentially illegal images, then pretty much any human being that's going to go to that website is either, one, immediately going to click away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I don't want that on my search history. I don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah.
I need to get out of here. Or the only other group of people would be like depraved individuals,
mm-hmm,
that are looking for that stuff.
And you have immediate blackmail
and
on.
And if that's the case, you have blackmail on them and they're probably not going to care about some military discussion going on. They're going to be like, well, I'm already doing this thing.
My pushback there would be, there's plenty of countries that are going to be like, we need to go shut this website down.
Yeah.
But again, like, kind of what he was doing with the jailbait subreddit is like, well, it's not technically illegal. He found this like gray area. I don't know. I assume the site maybe went a little further than that. I don't know.
Right.
But it seems like a way to draw undue attention from, like, we'll say the FBI or the NSA or whoever like looks into that kind of stuff. You know, it's like almost like waving a red flag, like, come look here.
Yeah, that's a good point. But if this wasn't a government organization doing this, if they had been hired by the US government,
mm-hmm,
or any other government, then that goes government agencies, if they're like, hey, when you shut this website down, somebody's going to come down and be like, actually,
yeah,
we're using this website to take out hits on terrorists. And so he would have some sort of protection that way, I suppose.
Well, who's running this thing? Like, can we put them on some kind of list too? I don't know about but my first like knee-jerk reaction was like, well, it can't be that because you're just trying to draw attention to yourself. But yeah, if it is, like, put it in some kind of guise, you know.
Yeah,
I could meet you there.
Right. So that's theory number one, military contracting forum. The second theory is that this was just some sort of forum for veterans to talk.
And they chose that site?
Well, yeah, you know, the name Lake City Quiet Pills, veterans are going to know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of the like coded language, mm-hmm, is stuff that veterans would understand. They're going to be able to communicate with each other in that sort of way.
Yeah.
In the forum part of the website, there's nothing nefarious happening. It was just a place for people to go and discuss things.
That's a hard bridge for me to cross. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hard one. And then the last theory that I have is that this was some sort of ARG or alternate reality game where these people were all doing sort of like a almost Dungeons and Dragons type thing,
mm-hmm,
where they were all playing characters and they were telling a story in like an alternate reality where they're assassins. And
like, again, I like, for me, it comes back to like gaming world, like where it's advertised, go to this payphone and you're gonna get a phone call, and it's like promotion for the new Halo. There was a time, and like when we were in high school, where it was like go to these like drop locations and you'll find the new trailer for this game coming out. So like ARG stuff kind of had this moment back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen anything too...
Not really.
For me, at least 5 year, maybe less stretch, where they were just trying to bring entertainment stuff into the physical world and send people out to go look for it. So it's not the craziest
thing. Like even before that, where like corporations and marketing got a hold of it, in those days of the internet, mm-hmm. like you could go on a forum, post as though you're somebody as fiction, not like misrepresenting yourself. It was almost like interactive fan fiction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where like we're planning a robbery and like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
3-6 Mafia reference.
Let's plan a robbery. Yeah, I know.
Right. And like, you know, I'm going to be the getaway driver and I'm going to be this and I'm going to be that. And then like you do the alternate reality game and
yeah, yeah.
post back and forth about that stuff. People would do that on the internet, tell stories together.
Mm-hmm. I'm probably just old and that still happens in some form or fashion, but I do remember it becoming like a sudden thing and hearing about it and being like, what are you talking about? Also, I feel like there would be like times you'd see like a police standoff and it's because it's like 7 kids put on like black turtlenecks and were cosplaying some form of robbery in their parents' minivan. Okay, so those are our three. I know you said you had to cut yourself off from like going too deep down the rabbit hole. Are there any quick hits that you were like, that's too crazy, or just no time to go down that road?
Not really on theories. Where I cut myself off is there's like other offshoot websites that had like users with similar names and different postings. There's like even more web that you could weave about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, no, let me stick to this website and the stuff that was going on lakecityquietpills.com and keep it at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so those are the theories. It's a crazy internet story, right?
Yeah.
To me, it feels like it was some sort of website to discuss black ops operations of some sort, mm-hmm. or like military contracts that were offered or whatever. It was either that they were doing it in code and like being very careful never to outright say like, hey, we want to kill this person and we'll pay you this much to do this or whatever. Like they had their own sort of language to skirt around that so that they could never be found out and anything nailed down to them.
If that's the case, then why through that site and not through some totally offline dark web thing without a public facing window, if you will?
Maybe they just didn't know enough about the dark web. I don't know.
I mean, half of Congress right now still doesn't know what the internet is. So I'm like, it's quite possible. Like, let's just use a forum. They're like, oh, I got one. It's on pillsforkids.org. So yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. I think if they're going to do dark channel stuff, they've got plenty of ways to do that without it being publicly facing at all.
But if you remember, it wasn't publicly facing. Even after this guy died, it took 9 months for internet sleuths to figure it out, right? Had Milo not died, nobody would have went looking for that in the first place.
I still just don't know why you wouldn't just be like, here's an IP, type this in, here's how we'll communicate. Like to buy a URL to do all that feels like a reach for me.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like, oh, the government just found a site to operate through and they can disguise their own stuff, I don't know. I feel like it opens them up to a lot of dangers that they could avoid.
So do you feel more pulled towards like the hoax or alternate reality game side of things, where it was like there wasn't actually anything going on these secret forums? It was more just some sort of fictional thing happening.
To have like a cost analysis breakdown at the end, like unless they're all really good at staying in character. You know, it's like they're like, hey, party's done, you all owe me $20, right? I'm not gonna be like, and the cost of the drinks and the cost of the limo. It feels like it's all gonna be like tied together to me somehow. Like the core thing is what I can't really wrap my head around. Going from that subreddit to this website and then in the metadata the forums linked to that. Yeah, like
why would you go through that?
Yeah.
Yeah, both from the standpoint of if it's nefarious, even though it was hidden, you want it hidden even more. And if it's not nefarious, then why do any of that at all? Like, it doesn't make sense from both angles.
Yeah, yeah. And to your point, the story is so all over the place that you can, you know, I'm sure that's why you spun your head around on like, when do I stop looking at theories? Because you're like, well, then that's this.
Right.
I don't know. It makes me feel icky.
I don't think.
For some reason, I feel like something dark is happening on this. Oh, did we lose you?
Dark. Shade is here. Can you hear me?
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me or not? Evan can't hear me no more. He's disappeared.
I heard something. A helicopter or two.
All right, everybody. So that's... Something weird is happening now. They're on to us.
I don't think we should have talked about this.
Evan just got a knock at his door, everyone.
The CEO of Marriott is outside like that piece of...
He's getting no water bottles now.
He's not elite. All right, so I don't remember where we left. Oh, just I think I was just saying like this all made me feel icky.
Yeah, doesn't feel good. It's not a good story. I don't know. I'm torn, honestly, 50-50 on this was some sort of nefarious hidden forum. And the other half is... It was some group of people, probably not good people, mm-hmm. but they were playing some, you know, role-playing game, alternate reality game. It was all fictionalized. Neither one of those makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what was going on with this website.
Do you know, was Milo like a real person?
Nothing that I saw like gave him a last name or like a date of birth or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, this one honestly is just confusing to me.
Yeah. I don't think there's ever any way to be like, it was this.
Right. And, you know, that's par for the course with early internet. There's just a lot of confusing stuff on the early internet.
I would say it's also on brand for early internet where you're like, well, who's ever going to find out I did this?
Right.
Again, not that it was me personally. Yeah. But it was just like, you just assume there's no way to track what was happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's when I could spend plenty of time deep diving.
If you look up Lake City Quiet Pills, there's endless discussion about what was going on, who the people involved were, et cetera, et cetera. Like I said, not us, but somebody could do a whole season on lakecityquietpills.com going down each and every rabbit hole to figure out what was going on. And you'll probably still end up confused, just like us.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't know how... This one's vibes are so all over the map. I don't even know how to tie it up.
So I think, what is this one going to be? Episode 6?
6, yeah.
Yeah, so this will be 6. So we'll have 4 more. Got a couple guests that I'm working on getting on. I want to cover at least, I really want to cover like an alien abduction story. I've got a few in mind, but if anybody out there like has one that they really want to deep dive onto, send us a message on Instagram, send me an email. And also to the multitude of people that have sent me this, I appreciate every single one of you sending me Jimothy posts. I've enjoyed all of them. I love getting pictures of that guy. Legitimately, I've had, I think, 12 people message me on various platforms about Jimothy.
No, I was at work and then saw it. I was like, do you want to describe him at all? Like,
it's a raccoon with short like a spinal condition. Syndrome? Yeah. If you somehow don't know what I'm talking about, look up Jimothy Seattle and your life will be changed.
Local hero, local celebrity, and looks like he's living his best life.
Someone, I'm going to look this up because I'm going to get it wrong. I think Alex, who is going to be on here to take you on.
In the cryptid quiz.
Yep. He sent me, this is it, is a post on Twitter. I think Twitter. Yeah. Mulder, hope you packed your raincoat, Scully. Scully, Seattle. Seattle? Mulder, it's the weekend. What? Mulder, confirmed sighting, Scully. This is big. Scully, my God, Mulder, what am I looking at here? Mulder, the locals are calling it Jimothy. Which is just perfect because it like legitimately, yeah, it'd be the perfect story for an X-Files episode. All right. Having said all of that, y'all be good and we'll see you
on
the next one. I am David Stuhldreher,
creator and host. The show is edited by my co-host, Evan Miller. Theme music done by Sean Bullock. You can follow him at Sean Bullock Video on Instagram. All original artwork done by Tannis. You can follow her at Tannis Tattoos on Instagram as well. Thank you for listening.